good evening. I've heard a lot of good mornings. I promise to have you out of here so you can beat the lunch crowd. Oh, wait, there will not be a crowd. Tomorrow, yes. In case there's a rush for dinner tonight, we'll be out in time. Chris, you led a song that took me back in a time warp. We sang Unto Thee, O Lord, and that makes me think back to sitting in the youth group singing that song. That's one of those forgotten songs, I think. When they youth sing it today, they're like, what is that? And that was the big song back when I remember being in the youth group. It was one of the ones we sang all the time. So I appreciate your song selection. New Year's is upon us, and usually people do resolutions, and that is the big thing. I'm not going to talk to you about resolutions other than the fact in 2012, I plan to win a game of Settlers of Catan. Last night, you saw us sit around a table. Us diehards arrived at 4 o'clock, and I left at 1:30, and I still have not gotten a victory. So 2011 was not a good year, but I will fight on. 2012 will be a first of many for me. So my resolution is to finally win at that game. I think I'm on a streak of 0-15. It's not looking good. So I want to talk to you about something, though, that is something like a resolution, but it's not. It's more of a challenge to you. And I want you to think about this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's a word, grace, that maybe it's just me, maybe it's because I get things slow, but that's something in the last couple of years that has really taken on a special word in my heart. And when I hear the word grace and what it means, it has really changed my outlook, my view on things. I've had the experience to go to a lot of places, not out just out of the side of the country, but I've been able, with Healing Hands, to travel to different congregations, to different conferences. I've heard speakers. I've talked to people. I've talked to people of other religions, and I've done a lot of things. And the word grace is something, when we sit down and we talk about it, how amazing it is. In the first verse that says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Sometimes, maybe it's just me, but for a long time in my life, grace was just another word. In the movie National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, you have the famous scene, and there's this old couple, and they say, will you say grace? And the lady says, grace? Oh, she died 30 years ago. No, grace. And she starts to say the Pledge of Allegiance. It's just a word to us, grace. You know, you hear it. It's like the top 10 church words. Grace is up there. But do we truly understand grace? And hopefully today, by looking at some points and a lot of verses, we can maybe take grace and make it our challenge in 2012 to show grace, to understand grace, and not just know it and hear it. And so that's my goal. And it's something that you don't have to say, all right, it's 2012. Every day when you wake up, it should be a new day to you, filled with God's grace. So what is this grace? What is this amazing grace that's so awesome that the sound of it, somebody wrote in a song? This is what we've always heard about grace. This is kind of the definition. Well, let me give you an illustration. You've probably heard this before. Somebody said, how would you describe grace to somebody? If you look it up in the definition, in Webster's or whatever, it has many definitions. You talk about somebody graces your presence, or that person moves with grace, with style. Grace is got a lot of definitions. But when we talk about grace in the Bible, here's the best illustration I heard. Guy had just got him a brand new hot rod vehicle. I don't know much about vehicles. One of those ones that can really do some speed. Not my car, obviously. But he decided, he was out one day and he decided he was going to let it go. He was going to touch the other end of the speedometer. On mine, it's like 80 miles per hour. On his, he was going to floor it. And he's going along, and just as he got up to that max speed, like 160, I don't know, 180 miles per hour, he came over the horizon, and guess what was waiting on the other side of the hill? Good old friend, the cop. So he obviously tries to slam on his brakes. At that point, you're kind of useless. I don't know if you've ever been caught by a cop and you try to slam on your brakes, you're done. So the cop pulls him over, and I could not imagine what kind of ticket this man would get for 160 and, like, say, a 50. I don't know. Cop pulls him over and comes back, and he's like, "What? Do you know how fast you're going, sir?" He's like, "No, could you tell me?" And he's like, "You're going 163 miles per hour." And he said, knowing that his fate was determined, He was going to get a ticket. Cop says, gets to talking about it. He says, so why were you going that fast? He said, well, I just got this car. I'm testing out, blah, blah, blah. And they get to talking about engines, blah, blah, blah. The definition of grace is the cop lets him go. He deserved the punishment. The cop didn't give it to him. Grace. It's a silly illustration, but sometimes it helps us understand maybe what grace is. Let's look at what the Bible says about grace. We're going to look at a lot of verses, so you can just listen or you can try to flip along. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 is the first one I want to look at. This is how we've heard grace and how it's defined a lot of times to us. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. God knew way, way back when, in the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, that He would have to do something in order for His children to have eternal life with Him. He knew that in the beginning. So it says here that it was nothing of our own that we could do, but it was God's grace. And He knew that back in the beginning of time. And then you say, well, okay, well, how did He demonstrate this grace to us? How then, what was the grace He gave us that He knew back in the beginning of time? And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. We just gathered around the Lord's Supper table to remember what? The death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's grace sent His Son to die on the cross for who? For us and for our sins. Now grace is pretty amazing, isn't it? The grace of God, who knew that there was no way we could have a relationship with Him way back when, said, my grace is something that I give you. It's nothing that you can do to earn it. There is nothing in this world but my grace. And so He demonstrated it through who? His Son, who died on that cross. Ephesians 1:7 backs up what I just said. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Whose blood? Jesus' blood. The forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We sin. There's no way we can get rid of it on our own. You can scrub-a-dub-dub all you want. You just can't get rid of it. You can say as many prayers as you want. You can read the Bible as many times as you want. You can do 1,000 good deeds. It's not going to get rid of it. The only way you get rid of it is because God's grace. So we know that. I didn't give you anything new today, did I? No. You guys are like, great, Sean, you told us what grace is. We know that. We hear that. We teach that. If we're teachers, we talk to people about that. But do we fully understand that? Do we grasp it? Does it sink in with us? When we walk through our lives, is that grace make us happy? As an individual, do you take grace and say, wow, I am thankful that God's grace has saved me? Or do you tell people God's grace is awesome because you know it, but it's not part of you? So, now I'm going to go through the first 2 points. The third point is kind of where we're going to sink in. The second point ties off it. Because we could go on with scripture after scripture after scripture defining grace. And you get the point. Second, though, is at some point we need to truly understand grace. And that is the verse that I want you to first focus on. That comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Colossians chapter 1, 3 through 6. It says, we always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and the love that spring from the hope stored up in you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. At what point in your life or do you truly understand God's grace? Sometimes it takes something happened in your life to realize that. Sometimes you just get it. You understand it. Sometimes it might be through a story you heard or an illustration or a lesson. But at what point in your life do you truly understand God's grace? To the point that when you wake up every day of your life, you rejoice because you have been given the greatest gift of all. The greatest gift of all. Because when God's grace is part of your life, every day is a new day. Because everything you do when you mess up is forgiven. You have unlimited grace. God's grace is not just a one-time thing. He says, my grace is abundant as long as what? As long as you continue to walk in the light. He says, he gives you this as a gift. Did you earn that grace? Did you buy that grace? No. Some people might say, well, yeah, you have to do some things to do it, but not really. And we'll get that a little later. So to understand that sometimes it's not like you just know it. And I think if we start to know it, then maybe we can understand better how we're going to go to the third point. But until we truly know it and inside and accept that grace for ourselves, we'll never be able to teach somebody else about the grace of God because we've got to understand it. So my challenge in 2012 and the rest of your life every day is first to truly understand what grace is to you. And only you. I can't force understanding upon each individual, but to grasp that word. And when you sing the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, you know what the next couple of words say. What does it say? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that what saved a wretch like me. Not saved a wretch like everybody. Me. I'm a wreck. I'm a messed up person. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When you truly understand God's grace, you start to see. You've got a purpose. You've got a way. So I want to challenge you, and this is where I really wanted to go with this whole thing. Here's the challenge. I want you to start seeing the world through grace. When you look at people, I want you to look at them with grace. Who deserves grace? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, who deserves grace? You ever wonder that? Who deserves grace? Real short verse says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Wait a minute. All people deserve grace? All people? Let's stop and think about that. All people. I don't have to raise your hand here, but how many of you have enemies or people that you cannot stand? All right. Some of you are probably like, I can't stand you, Sean. So they're... Thanks, Dave. Grace covers you, too. That takes on a new meaning, does it not? Grace is for all. You mean grace is for that person that does those wrong things in life? That bad individual? I don't know about you, but I don't watch the news. I guess I don't turn it on because it's the same old, same old. There's something bad going on. I used to think, well, I'll just watch sports because that's good stuff. Not now. 2011, the sports networks are covered with bad people. Not the good going on in sports. It's not, oh, the Titans won the game today. I guess they won, right? No, it's about Guy Sandusky. It's about Kobe Bryant. It's about all these things and the negative things that they do in their life. And I think, is grace good enough for them? So the challenge to yourself is, first, is realize that grace is for everyone. Every person you come in contact with, whether you think it or not, is worthy of grace. Because if I'm a wretch, they're a wretch. We're both worthy of grace. And until we can fully understand that and accept that, then maybe we won't be able to pass it on. We know that there is a world that needs grace. But do we see that world with our own eyes? Does that make sense? We know that God wants everybody to be saved. We know that. But do we see that? I was in Honduras just recently, and I look at people, and I guess it just really clicked with me some. And I shared with the last Wednesday night, I guess it was, a little bit of my experience of the trip with the teen class. But when I looked at a Honduran, I realized, you know what? They deserve grace just as much as I do. even though they're totally opposite of who I am, totally different, they deserve it just as much as I do. Next verse I want you to look at. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. This is a really simple message. I'm not one of those in-depth theologians, but I like to do things simple because when you walk out of here, I hope that you take it and you can say, you know what? Amazing grace. You remember it, and it will click with you. So, Acts 20, verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. So what was this task? The task of testifying to the good news of what? God's grace. Now we've got the Bible challenging, do we not? It says, here's your task. You understand this grace. It says now you've got to go out and you've got to testify that good news of that grace. You accept God's grace. He says, that's not just enough. I want you to then say, all right, you accept my grace. Now you tell others about it. And so the question then you ask yourself, well, how do I do that? How do you do it? I'll tell you the way you do it. In my opinion, and in my opinion, it's about as worth maybe of a half a penny. So I think you show it. If God could demonstrate grace in the magnitude that we'll never be able to demonstrate, at least we can show grace to others. How do you show grace? By doing stuff for people when you expect nothing in return. You do it because you love them and you want them to see through you what you do, the love of God. Jaquan, when we went to Syracuse and we door knocked in the heat. I guess you were door knocking in the heat. I wasn't with you. Maybe you were over there drinking a Coke under the tree somewhere. With Chef. Did you do that because you wanted something in return? Or did you do that because you wanted to just demonstrate the love that you realize that God has given you to others? Others that are just like you. There was a lot of people up there that were just like us. And yeah, that's a small illustration because it's really not that hard to knock on somebody's door or to go into a park at a VBS and throw a ball with them and do a craft and sing a song and act crazy in a skit. But when you do stuff for people to show them God's grace, sometimes it means you give of something that you is valuable. Maybe you give of your time. Maybe you give of your own personal feelings to show God's grace to someone else. Because God loved you so much, His grace from the beginning of time was to give you the chance to have eternal life. 1 Peter 4:10. And this kind of piggybacks off the verse before. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Last time I was at Echo Hills on Sunday morning, Chris spoke, and he mentioned the word stewardship. Stewardship. When we think stewardship, we think of money. But look at how this verse talks about it. As a faithful steward of what? Not money, but of God's grace. How do you do that? Through the gifts that you have. And it says, you have received to do what? To serve others. So how are we going to show God's grace to other people for them to understand it? First, we've got to understand it. Once we grasp that, then we can do what God has given us, that gift, that ability. And all of us have so many different abilities. It's amazing the amount of different abilities in this room that are represented. But are we using that to demonstrate God's grace? Are we using that just to use that gift thinking it's for our own personal gain? So, the message has been simple this morning. But now when you hear the words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, I hope it changes your mindset. That song, in my opinion, is like the song on the radio. It's played over and over and over that it becomes just another song. One of those ones you're like, man, I can't get that song out of my head. Not that it's bad, but you know, you hear it so many times that it loses its meaning. It's a song that even outside the religious world is a very popular song. I got out of the subway back in like 2006, 2007, up in New York City at the World Trade Center site, and there was a guy playing bagpipes. What was he playing? Amazing Grace. It's a popular song. You'll hear it a lot, but let's not let that song and its meaning be overlooked. So what I want to do is real quick, before I offer the invitation, I want to read the first three verses. Just read them to you, and I want you to listen to it. And now that you understand that we need to accept grace, understand it, and now we've got to do something with that grace. Because I'm going to tell you this, you wouldn't be in this auditorium if it wasn't for that grace. And anytime you get caught up in your arguments or your frustrations with the church, and we all go through it, and we're frustrated with God, and we're frustrated with Christians, and we're in this, remember, it's not about us, it's about God's grace. And if it wouldn't have been for God and that grace to send His Son down the cross, there's not a thing we can do. And so, let's remember that. Listen to the words of this song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Two parts I want to pull out of there just to think about. First of all, do you remember the day, if you were, became a Christian, where you were baptized, if you've done that in your life? Do you remember? Listen to what this says and think about that. How precious did grace appear the hour I first believed. Remember coming up out of the water? It was pretty clear, wasn't it? At that moment in your life, it was pretty clear. God just washed away my sins, and I'm on cloud nine. I was ready to go out and change the world the night I got baptized. I didn't go in thinking I was going to be baptized. My good friend, my roommate in college, got baptized on Monday night, and I was there to support him. And something moved me that night, but I'll never forget the night I was baptized and how clear everything was. And you're on fire, and then that fire kind of died out, and you go back to normal. But I thought that was interesting when I read that verse. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And the second thing is, and this is the one that'll get you through life whenever it's good or it's bad. 'Tis grace have brought me safe thus far. Excuse me, I'm not good with that English, old English talk. And grace will lead me home. God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins to be washed away. But more importantly, to take us home, to be with Him for eternity. That's awesome. So I hope that this morning this song has taken new meaning to you a little bit, that grace is something that you'll think about in 2012. But before I close, I want you to listen to this passage that was read earlier by Jim. I won't refer to you as chef in a public situation again, sorry. By Jim. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start back in verse 1, though. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If a verse summed up my whole lesson this morning, there it is. Boom, I just gave you my lesson by God. God speaks better than I do. He's told you that His grace is what saves us. It's nothing we can do, but our faith tells us that if we believe that and we do that and we accept Christ, then He will give us one day, a home in heaven. And that is the goal of a Christian, is to live life here on earth as servants, stewards of His grace, but then to one day be called home with Him. And that's what God wants for all of us. And so this morning, here's an illustration that I got from Dave a long time ago. I don't know if you remember telling this illustration. God's written you a check worth $10 million. Says, here it is. Chris, I have $10 million. You take this check to the bank and it's going to bounce right back to you. All you have to do is go cash it. I'll give you $10 million. All you have to do is cash it. God says, I'll give you eternal life. All you got to do is be obedient to me. Hear the word. Believe it. Repent. Confess that Jesus is Lord and be baptized. And He will wash away your sins. And the grace of God will cover you as you continue to walk on this earth faithful. God says, here it is. This $10 million check, all you got to do is go and cash it. But until you actually cash that check, it's nothing. How important is grace to you? If you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to accept His grace by coming forward and being baptized into Christ. For those of you that are already Christians, sometimes we get into situations in our life and we lose track of things. We lose meaning, and grace might have left you in the meaning of it, and you want to come back and say, I just need prayers that grace will abound in me, and I'll be a steward of God's grace. So whatever your need is this morning, wow, this evening, I encourage you to come forward as together we stand and sing.